Our scripture lesson today is from Matthew 25, pages 1181 and 1182 of the Pew Bible. The Final Judgment. When the Son of Man comes in his glory with his angels, he will sit on his royal throne. Then the people of all nations will be brought before him, and he will separate them as a shepherd separates the sheep from their goats. He will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "My Father has blessed you. Come and receive the kingdom that was prepared for you before the world was created. When I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. And when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. And when I was a stranger, you welcomed me. And when I was naked, you gave me clothes to wear. When I was sick, you took care of me. And when I was in jail, you visited me." Then the ones who pleased the Lord will ask, "When did you give me something to eat or drink? When did we welcome you as a stranger or give you clothes to wear or visit you while you were sick or in jail?" The king will answer, "Whenever you did it for any of my people, no matter how unimportant they seemed, you did it for me." Then the king will say to those on his left, "Get away from me. You're under God's curse. Go into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry, but you did not give me anything to eat. And I was thirsty, but you did not give me anything to drink. I was a stranger, but you did not welcome me. I was naked, but you did not give me any clothes to wear. I was sick and in jail, but you did not take care of me." Then the people will ask, "Lord, when did we fail to help you? When you were hungry, thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in jail?" The king will say to them, "Whenever you failed to help any of my people, no matter how unimportant they seemed, you failed to do it for me." Then Jesus said, "Those people will be punished forever, but the ones who please God will have eternal life."
Let's pray again. Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I pray that these words will be acceptable to you, that you will, where they miss their mark, where they're not quite up to the way you want them to be, that you will do whatever you can to incorporate them into our lives, drawing us closer to you, helping us to understand you more. Just be with us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our passage today from Matthew 25 is one of those, I think, really difficult biblical passages. Didn't you think so when you're listening to it being read? It's really a hard passage. It's a passage that challenges us to go beyond our comfort zones, if you will, those nice, comfortable, cozy little places we like being stuck in. The passage challenges us to go beyond those places and do something that might require some courage or some faith or maybe a little bit of both. Our passage today from Matthew 25 is about Judgment Day. According to this passage, this is the day when Jesus will separate people, will separate the sheep from the goats, or those who go to heaven and those who don't. Have you thought a lot about Judgment Day? It's not exactly a subject we spend a lot of time thinking and talking about, is it? I remember my dear old Grandma Fossum, and I know I've told you about her before, but she literally used to put the fear of God in me whenever she talked about Judgment Day. I mean, she would say, talk about people and how they would end up in the wrong side of heaven if they ever committed any, in her opinion, any of the five big sins. And I've told you about them before, but for my grandma, the five big sins were drinking, smoking, dancing, going to the movies, and playing cards. She just didn't want to do them. Although I never did figure out where my grandma came up with those five big sins, because most of them aren't mentioned in the Bible. And yet she made it clear to me that I had better avoid those five big sins if I hope to avoid the fires of hell. And so for a long time, I did my best to avoid them. However, I have changed my thinking quite a bit since my days of my grandma days. I don't believe that those five big sins are really sins anymore, and I'm sorry, Grandma. That's how I feel. Some of them aren't good for us, granted, but they're not going to be a deciding factor, I don't think, in who gets into heaven and who doesn't give in to heaven. So what do you think? Do you know, what does the judgment part of Judgment Day mean to you? What does the judgment part of Judgment Day mean to you? Now, I kind of wish that it would be a day when we would go to that Judgment Day and we would get asked a bunch of softball questions, if you will, some really easy questions like, where was Jesus born? Duh. Who was his mother? How many books of the Bible can you name? Can you name any of the apostles at all? Now, I think I could do pretty well with those kinds of questions. I might get a few wrong here and there, but I think I could get enough right to pass. But I don't think those are the kind of questions we'll get asked. The kind of questions we will get asked, though, on Judgment Day, are going to be a lot harder. How we've lived our lives, are going to be the important questions. You're sitting there this morning, try answering these questions right here if you can. I was hungry. Did you feed me? I was thirsty. Did you give me something to drink? I was a stranger. Did you welcome me? I was naked and I was sick. Did you give me clothes to wear? Did you help me? I was in prison. Did you visit me? You see, what Jesus said, whatever you do for the least of these, you did it for me. And whatever you fail to do for the least of these, you fail to do it for me. On Judgment Day, as I understand it, Jesus is going to divide people into two different groups, the sheep and the goats. Those who help the least and the lost will be the sheep, and those who don't will be the goats. And it's right here at that point where I think that this passage in Matthew 25 gets really, really difficult, because it's right here where Jesus makes a connection, where Jesus ties our salvation with how we treat or mistreat our brothers and sisters, our neighbors, and including the least and lost of us. And that's the hard part. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, made the same connection between salvation and how we live our lives. Wesley said, he put it this way, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. For John Wesley, then, salvation was both a personal choice that we make, and it's also a social choice that we make. For Wesley, personally, it was accepting, affirming Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That was the personal part. The social part for Wesley was taking our faith and putting it into action. It was taking our faith and putting wheels underneath it. It was taking our faith and actually using that faith instead of just talking about what we believe. It was doing something about it. A Civil War chaplain one time saw a wounded soldier laying on the battlefield, and so he went up to this wounded soldier and he said, Would you like to hear a few verses from the Bible? And the wounded soldier said, no, I'm thirsty. Can you give me something to drink? And so the chaplain gave him some water. And then he asked them the same question again. Would you like to hear a few verses from the Bible? No, sir, the wounded soldier said. Could you please put something underneath my head? And the chaplain put something underneath his head. And then he went ahead and repeated the same question about the Bible verses. And the wounded soldier said one more time, no, sir, but I'm cold. Could you cover me with something? And so the chaplain, he took off his coat and he laid it over the wounded soldier. And the chaplain, he didn't say anything more about those Bible verses. And soon he got up and he started to walk away. When the wounded soldier, he called him back and he said, look, chaplain, look. If there's something in that book of yours, meaning the Bible, that makes a person want to help another person like you've helped me today, then I want to hear about it. That chaplain that day, he would have done well to quote our passage today from Matthew 25. For whatever you do for the least of these, you do it for me. Whatever you fail to do for the least of these, you fail to do it for me. So what this means is that, yes, we serve those people we know and those people we like, but it also means serving people we don't know and might not like, including the least and the lost. A long, long, long time ago, when this whole world was a dark and lonely place, when this whole world was full of sin, the people who lived in this sin were without hope. They didn't have any kind of a relationship with God because they didn't know how they stood with God because of all that sin that was going on. And so that day, God decided to do something new. God decided to do something for those people and for you and I that we were unable to do for ourselves. And you know what God did? God sent Jesus Christ into this world to take away our sins and to give us new life, new hope. And so in gratitude and in faith, we accept this gift by receiving, by acknowledging, by affirming our faith in Jesus Christ, and also by doing our level best to do what Jesus asks us to do, even if it's hard to do. Mother Teresa felt the same way about marrying and connecting what we believe with what we do when she said, every time I look into the face of someone who's dying of AIDS or hunger or poverty, she said, I see the face of God. Looking around this room this morning, I know that many of you see the face of Jesus in the faces of people that you meet, don't you? And I know enough of you to know that many of you've gone the extra mile to help the least and the lost. And I also know that many of you here sitting today, you try your best, you do your best to match what you believe with how you live, and that's how it's supposed to be. During these last several months, you, through this church, you've collected all kinds of food for the Bismarck Food Pantry. The stuff up here is only a small fraction of what you've given to the food pantry. You, through this church, right now, you're collecting meals for families in need. Not for families that can afford it, but for families in need. And if you go out to the Great Hall, you're going to see a table full of these meals. And you, right now, you're making Christmas shoeboxes again this year for children who live in the Spirit Lake Indian Reservation. And you have helped put together solar ovens for Haiti. And some of you have gone to Haiti, and some of you are going to Haiti again to help the Haitians. You have served the homeless by providing a Thursday evening meal for them this year, not only one time, but twice. You put together a Halloween fun night, which included many families from this neighborhood who have no association, who do not belong to this church, and that's really a good thing. You, I don't know if you know this or not, but you, through your contributions, you send thousands of dollars each year to support United Methodist missionaries and missions all across this world. Did you know that? And you, again, through your generous donations, you provide scholarship money for college students. And so, yes, you do a lot for the least and the lost. I suppose we could say we can always do more, but I want you to know that I'm really proud of you for not neglecting the least and the lost. And that's what I wanted to say this morning. Thank you for putting your faith into action. We need to keep telling people. We need to keep teaching people about seeing the face of Jesus in every face we meet. We need to keep telling people and teaching people that faith in Jesus Christ is both an affirmation that we make, but it's also something we do. It's how we live our lives. A pastor one time said to his church, he was preaching kind of like this morning, and he was saying, if you hope to be happy in heaven, why not be happy today? And then he went and he said something like, following Jesus and serving Jesus brings heaven to us right now. And if you think about that, that kind of means something like this. Helping the least and the lost is the beginning of heaven on earth. And the formula is a simple one. The more we serve God, the better we feel. And so that's my prayer for all of us, that we continue to serve God by helping the least and the lost. It'll make us feel better and them as well. Amen.